Hi, friends. On our podcast this week, you'll have to forgive me for Amy not being here to help record this introduction. However, don't fret. She will be here during both segments of today's podcast. In segment one, we'll talk about the deadly house fires that happened a week or so ago, mentioning Bob Saget passing away and how sad that is. We're going to talk about a pastor's family who chose forgiveness, and that's quite a story. And we'll finish off segment one with Fauci and the fund that he takes care of wouldn't be the department that he is in charge of, the government agency that he's in charge of. Well, you just won't believe the story here. Enjoy segment one, and we'll be back in a moment.
What's going on in the world?
Well, we will talk more about this during the prayer portion. So, actually, right now, we're going to go right on into the current events, but this is a local current event. I believe it happened Sunday, possibly Saturday in North Vernon. And one of the reasons I want to put this right here is because there's two other incidences in the country where very similar things have happened. There was a family whose house caught fire in North Vernon, and they were able to rescue everyone but the mother, and they were unable to save her. So we're going to pray for the family of the lady who passed away. The last I knew, they hadn't released the information, basically any information on what we're talking about right now. And Joe or Patty, if that's different and you want Amy to put that in, go ahead and share it. But we also want to lift up, when we get to the prayer portion, but the story goes with these other two stories about the police officer who did his very best to be able to rescue the lady.
Right.
And just couldn't get it done.
The officer got her to the window, and Joe said they still haven't released names or anything. So, understandable. That's a very sensitive subject, and boy, oh boy, how sad. But the officer got her up to the window of the trailer, and then evidently she got overtaken by smoke or something, and he lost contact with her, and they weren't able to get her out. And that officer had only been on the department just a few years. He was just what I would call still a rookie. And for that to happen, that's devastating to anyone in a career, to lose someone like that in such a devastating manner, much less someone young in their profession, and have to deal with that. That's just heartbreaking and devastating, and something that he will live with forever.
Yeah, he won't get over that.
And he was so distraught that they called family to come to the scene and be with him, because I mean, that's a devastating thing to have happen. You know, to be able to have fought and got the other people out, and I think that they were children, and then having not been able to successfully rescue the mother. Man, that's got to be devastating.
This happened as well on Sunday. A deadly fire in the Bronx in New York City. The article I'm looking at said 17 people were killed. It was actually moved up to 19, and 9 of the 19 were children.
Wow.
And there were over 200 firefighters there battling the fire. There was tons and tons of rescues that took place. Many occupants ended up being rescued through their windows. They kept the fire to the second and the third level. And I think, let's see if it says up here, 19-story building.
Oh,
and so
wow.
They kept it, but the smoke, obviously,
right,
was the major problem. More than 60 people were injured, many being trampled on the stairwell while trying to escape the heavy smoke. And that's what got a lot of them when they went out to escape. The smoke had already got into the stairwells.
Right.
And it was, they just couldn't. So that's why window rescues become necessary. And then, I don't even have it up in front of me, it was several days ago, maybe about a week ago, there was a deadly fire in Philadelphia where I think 13 folks lost their lives. So in with all of this, and being that it definitely is current events, there's lots of families without a loved one. There's lots of physical damage. But boy, there's a lot of first responders.
Oh, wow.
That are grieving as well. All three cases.
Absolutely.
Have to be terrible. You know, the local one, you know a little more about maybe, and when things come out, you might know people involved or not know people involved, but the same with the other two in New York City, in the Bronx, and in Philadelphia. And I know one of the two, it was a faulty space heater that...
And you know, this is the time of year when that kind of thing happens so often. Space heaters are so, so dangerous. And a lot of times people will end up having their heat shut off or something, and that's what they resort to, is space heaters or kerosene heaters or things like that. I've been there, done that. I know. I've had my gas shut off, and I've had to have kerosene heaters to be able to heat my home for my kids. And I've hung blankets over doorways,
yeah,
and isolated them into one room so that I didn't have to worry about heating other rooms. I had to worry about heating one room and keeping my kids warm. I've been there, done that. I know what it's like. And by the grace of God, my house didn't catch fire. But it's happened so often that space heaters go bad or they spark or something and it catches a house on fire, and people either become homeless because of it or they lose life because of it. And it's so sad that things happen like that. It's so, so sad. And most of the time when people lose their life in a fire, it's not the fire itself that kills them. It's the smoke that kills them. And you know, that's got to be a horrible, horrible way.
Well, to me, it would seem almost like drowning.
Yeah.
You know, the oxygen ends up going away.
Yeah. It would just be so sad. So sad.
I'm trying to look at things to start with that not necessarily... horrible in the political realm. I mean, things that have gone on outside of the realm of politics. And hey, guess what? There are things that go on outside of politics. And as we've just found out, and with the next one, a lot of prayer needs to go out for things that we can't affect other than to pray about. And this one, I've seen a lot about this. I guess it's because our children were at the age where this man was popular And then, of course, we would watch him on America's Funniest Home Videos. But Bob Saget passing away a day or two ago. 65, that's way too young.
That's way too young.
That picture right there, just that I've got that you can see, that's just him right there.
He's
just a baby face.
Yeah.
And even at 65, in the pictures that I saw, he was like the young version of a dad. You know, a lot of times you think dads and you think Ward Cleaver or something.
Right.
But Bob Saget was like a young version of Ward Cleaver.
Right.
Boy,
he was the dad that everybody knew.
Yeah.
Everybody knew him. If you said his name, it was like, oh, yeah, he's DJ Tanner's dad. Or,
yeah.
You know,
Baby Michelle.
Yeah, absolutely. You knew who he was.
And that was on, that series was on for such a long time. And it was actually even came back a couple of years ago.
Wow.
Called Fuller House. And it
we just got really, really, somebody put their drunk goggles on, I think.
And that's yours?
Yeah.
That would be your phone, man.
That would be my phone.
Huh.
Did anybody else just get real foggy or real fuzzy looking? Oh, I see something I forgot to put away with Christmas decorations. Sorry.
We got to get you like these blinders or something to where we can keep you focused.
Squirrel. Beth Rager just said, Ruth asked me to thank everyone for the prayers. Heart doctor is fine. Let's see. Heart doctor is fine. The doctor thought it was stress. Well, stress will do amazingly terrible things to you.
Yes, they can.
You could keep going in and out of focus. I noticed that, Roberta. I'm glad it wasn't just me. I do not know why. I think maybe it's... Let me try to turn this off and see. I don't have a clue if that's has anything to do with it, but stranger things have happened. I don't know.
It might. Actually, it's doing it on mine, too.
Is it? Well, maybe that's the culprit. I don't know. It may be picking up that little bitty light, and I don't know. I thought maybe it was drunk glasses. You know how you put those glasses on and everything looks fuzzy like you're drunk, and then you take them off, and it's, I don't know.
Well, there is something that is on, see down here? This is the ministry page, and down here at the bottom says community standards.
Oh, heavens to Betsy. Let me go see what it says.
Let's say, our community standards, the policies come from feedback. These policies come from feedback from people on Facebook and the advice of experts. These policies include different views and beliefs and are especially meant to protect those who might otherwise be overlooked or marginalized. Bullying and harassment.
Have you been put in Facebook jail?
I don't think so. Keep everyone respected and welcome by avoiding doing things that threaten or bully another. Hate speech. People should be protected, especially from attacks on their race, ethnicity, religion, language, gender, or sexuality. And it wants me to say, I understand. So, I don't know maybe it's just time to renew the community standards, or if somebody said something, I don't know. And I've got a message, I don't know if she's still in here, because I responded. Tanya Jackson was in here and said, God answered my prayers. So we will see.
Wow.
What she was talking about, maybe. And until then, we will go ahead and we will talk about more current events. How about this one?
Well, you know what, Roberta, have you seen us going in and out of, you know, the fuzzy look since I turned that little light, well, maybe. I don't know. I give up.
Let's stay on current events and hopefully... Hopefully that will focus on us instead of us focus, you know, we'll put the blinders on the phones and see if it can focus. A pastor's wife killed by a stray bullet during Bible study at Alabama church, and her family is choosing forgiveness.
Wow.
This is about a week old. The wife of an Alabama pastor died last week after a stray bullet struck and killed her during a church Bible study. But her family is already offering grace and forgiveness to the person responsible. How appropriate. The lady's name, Grace Carter.
Oh, wow.
65, was killed Tuesday while inside Everlasting Life Holiness Church in Pritchard, Alabama, after a stray bullet entered through a door and struck her chest. A 26-year-old woman named Kaylin Christine Howard Harris was arrested and charged over the deadly incident. Harris, who turned herself in, expressed remorse after her arrest and sought forgiveness. "I'm sorry, and I didn't intend to do this. Anybody who knows me know I got a good heart, she reportedly said, and I intend to do this. Can y'all please forgive me?" Carter is the wife of Cecil Carter Sr., a pastor-elect at a separate church called Sunlight Missionary Baptist Church. The preacher, who said his wife sometimes attends Everlasting Life Holiness Church, expressed shock and pain over the tragic loss, but he said he's remaining strong for his family. Quote from the pastor, "Sweetheart, I love you as always. Right now my heart is empty because she's not by my side, but I know that she's there spiritually. Right now I'm getting strength from knowing that God is able and knowing that my wife is in a better place with the Lord, and no doubt about it that she loved the Lord." Dee Carter, the victim's daughter, also expressed deep pain over the death, but she offered forgiveness before police arrested a suspect in the killing. Carter said her mother would have asked God to forgive the perpetrator. And
wow.
Boy, that.
Whew, boy, them some strong people.
And every time I read a story about that, it just kind of smacks me in the face and says, boy, you got a long way to go still. You know,
yeah.
We've never arrived. No matter how good we are, no matter how close we are to the Lord, no matter if our walk is drawing us closer every single day, and it should be. Don't ever think you've arrived. Don't ever think you've got it right where you need it. Satan wants you to think that, because Satan will cut you off at the knees in those kind of cases.
Absolutely. And but what a strong walk those people have.
Yes.
To be able to forgive that lady. My goodness. I mean, and right away, they were able to forgive her. The daughter was able to forgive before they ever made an arrest.
Yep.
My goodness. That's a strong lady right there. Mm-mm-mm.
Let's, I'm really trying to pick and choose tonight. I'm trying to, there's a couple on here that I'm going to have to get to, but this one... This is the story of the murder of Ahmaud Arbery. I'm not sure how you say his name. It's the story that...
Oh, that's the three guys that... Okay, yeah, it's Arbery.
Arbery?
Mm-hmm. Ahmaud Arbery.
He was basically just hunted down and killed. And... You know, there are just some cases, and this one drew lots of national news because Mr. Arbery was black, and the three guys that were convicted are all three white. But it's just one of those cases where you sure are glad that that's the way that the verdict came out. You know, from the very first day I heard about this story, I thought, unless something changes in the story that's being spoke about, those people need to fry.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the sentencing's taking place. Oh, they were sentenced Friday after being convicted. Oh, they all got the father and the son got life without parole, and the third guy got life with the possibility of parole. So they're not going to fry, but at least two of the three is never going
to
see the
light. Send them to Texas. They'll fry them like chickens.
Yeah. And, you know, I wish that we could just say that that was a good verdict without having to put race in there. You know,
right.
Three men chased down a fourth man, caught him and killed him, and got convicted. But even the headline, Ahmaud Arbery case, Georgia men sentenced in 2020 murder of unarmed black men. I just wish that we could just say.
Right. There shouldn't have to be a race involved.
No, there was a death involved.
Absolutely.
There was
Period
a death involved. And that's...
We all bleed red.
Absolutely do.
We all bleed the same color.
Well, I've stayed away from this one. We talked about it actually a little bit Sunday. Maybe Sunday in Bible study at Come As You Are. I know you mentioned it because we had talked about it on Saturday, the two of us.
Oh, right.
Nearly twice as many military members, that was active duty, military members, died from suicide between July and September than from coronavirus since the start of the pandemic. So we're talking about a three-month period versus right at a two-year period. And the three-month period was over double. And
Jesse's going to have to go outside probably because she won't shut up.
Well, we talked about this, so you can talk about how that works.
Well,
or doesn't work. Or
to me, it's just a sad situation that a three-month time period, that many veterans have lost their... Sorry, we've been intruded.
Somebody.
By horses and ponies. But that many veterans have lost their lives in a three-month time period, twice as many than have lost their lives in the whole COVID pandemic in 2 years. And I'm not downplaying the COVID pandemic at all, because we know it's real. We know that it's deadly. We've lost family members. We've almost lost people that are so close to us that it would be heartbreaking if we'd have lost those family members. So we know that COVID is real. We know that it's deadly. But suicide is deadly. There's no do-overs once you've committed suicide. And two times the amount of people died in 3 months than have died in 2 years. And suicide in veterans.
And active duty.
And active duty members. Why does this light keep coming back on? I've turned it off twice. Now, if it comes back on, I'm thinking it's possessed.
I was already thinking that.
Because I've turned it off twice, literally.
And so you might ask why we even bring this up. What's the importance? There are a lot of other major cause of death issues that are out there.
And there are.
That get ignored now. I mean, I heard
Well, the flu took the whole year off.
the one article I read about that,
it went on vacation.
That article wanted us to believe that in a normal year, somewhere like 200 babies die of the flu. And last year, one. Not five, not seven, not 17, but one.
The flu went on vacation for a year.
And basically, that's what the article that we talked about said. After flu took the year off.
It took the year off because COVID took over. COVID's there. Well, we're just going to go. We'll be back.
Yeah, we can take it easy this year. COVID will kill plenty of people.
Pack your bags. Let's go.
And so that's why we bring this up. There's plenty of other, you know, how many people still die of lung cancer because they smoke cigarettes? And I'm not saying that if you smoke cigarettes, you're going to get lung cancer. And I'm not saying the only way you can get lung cancer is by smoking cigarettes. But we would have to stick our head in the sand to think that there's still not thousands and thousands that die every year of lung cancer. And the main cause was because they smoked or were within secondhand smoke.
Yeah.
That's no longer a crisis, apparently.
Nope. My kidney cancer was put on hold because of COVID. That wasn't a crisis. Was to me. It was a crisis to me. It was not life or death. But do you want to walk around being the host to cancer? I didn't.
No, you sure didn't.
It was not what I wanted to do. But I understand that their hospitals were full with COVID patients. I get that. But it wasn't a crisis to anybody else, but it was to me. But you know what? Suicide is a crisis.
Absolutely.
And when there's two times the amount of people in 3 months die than there are in a two-year period, that's a crisis. And that crisis was being swept away. And very little being said or done about it. Because COVID, I wish I had a dime for every time the word COVID has been used.
Oh.
Can you imagine?
You'd bankrupt the treasury.
Can you imagine how much money we would have? Because that's what gets talked about. That's the everybody's focus. I get it's important. But so is suicide. There's no coming back from that. There's no coming back from that. And when we've got active service members and veterans committing suicide at that rate, that's a crisis. That's a huge crisis.
It is. And you obviously can't cure suicide.
Nope.
But boy, that's one thing that you can put money towards that you can actually see when their benefits are reaped.
Absolutely. When those numbers can get dropped and you see that there's been a decrease in that, that's effective.
Yeah.
That's effective. COVID's going to be around. That's our new normal. Jesus is coming back before our normal is coming back. Guaranteed. Normal is gone. We are not ever going to be normal again. Jesus will return first. But when you can decrease those numbers of veteran and active military suicides, that's going to be an effective measure. Our CDC needs to put in a few dollars of their trillions that they're spending on money that they're looking for instead of a cure. Stop looking for a cure because you're not going to find a cure for COVID. Try treatment. But spend a little bit of that money on some treatment for suicidal active and veteran suicide.
Or just suicide in general.
Absolutely.
Because guess what? COVID has been a big reason for a huge increase in suicides across the board. Not just
absolutely. Absolutely. So, suicide in general.
Yeah.
Because there's no do-overs after that. That's a done deal.
If Roberta, if you are still watching, this would be the point where you say your prayer.
Oh.
This would be the point. Now, I don't know if people realize this. There's a couple of things about this that you may or may not realize. Of all government employees employed by the United States government, Dr. Fauci is the highest paid of all. Of course, he's been a government employee
for 152 years.
Well, 152 years BC.
Absolutely.
So I say that humorously, but he is the highest paid. But he actually has a title that is more than just advisor to the president on COVID. He leads a government agency, an entire government agency. The government agency led by White House Chief Medical Advisor, Dr. Anthony Fauci. And I'm going to skip the end of that sentence. I'm going to tell you more about Dr. Fauci. He is the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. You know, that's the organization that sent lots of money to China at the Wuhan...
The Wuhan Clinic?
Yes.
Where...
Something with COVID happened there.
You know, it escaped. Supposedly somebody ate a bat.
Well, are you, like, buttoned down to the hatch here?
Go ahead.
In December of 2021, his agency, the NIAID, approved a $205,562 grant. Okay, now when it comes to government agencies, that's like toll at a toll booth.
Yeah, I mean, it's pocket change.
It's a drop in the hat. But when I tell you what it was spent for, and if it was even $20. Are you ready?
I don't think I'm ever ready.
The grant is for this fiscal year to Scripps Research for a study to determine why transgender women have high rates of HIV. And they are doing that by testing monkeys. Fauci has paid scientists $205,562 to give monkeys transgender hormones. I told you, Bert. I told you. Oh, my gosh. You know, we make jokes about you can't make this stuff up. That would have been impossible.
I am just literally want to puke right now.
You know, I'm sorry that transgender women get AIDS more than... And
transgender women. Does that mean they're men?
I don't know.
And now they're a woman? Or...
No,
they're men acting like a woman, or they... I don't...
Trevor just said he's not new to the media. In the 80s and early 90s, he was the expert on AIDS, and there was some issues on that as well. The only difference is he had color in his hair. But you know, some might say, well, why would you get worked up over that tiny amount of money?
It doesn't matter how much money it is. It's a waste.
It's over 4 years' salary for my wife.
You ain't lying.
That busts her buns.
Way over. Come on. Are you kidding?
And not just the transgender issue.
And I'm not even a monkey.
That's the part that gets me on the whole thing. The test is on monkeys.
Monkeys! I'm a coon, not a monkey. Oh, my. I cannot take it.
Well, how about one on the little more humorous side?
Oh, that wasn't stupid and funny enough.
Well, this is stupid and funny.
Well, that was, oh my goodness. You're going to make me cuss.
No, that's why I'm moving on. See the picture?
Yeah.
A Texas man was arrested last week for driving while intoxicated and with a lit barbecue pit in the back of his pickup truck. What happened when deputies with the Harris County Sheriff's Office responded to reports of a moving truck on fire last Wednesday? They might have assumed the incident was due to some sort of automotive malfunction. But upon arriving at the scene, it became clear the issue didn't have to do with the vehicle, but its driver. Deputies discovered a middle-aged man transporting a lit barbecue pit that he had created a large fire in his trunk bed, according to authorities.
It wasn't a traveling meth lab. It was a traveling barbecue.
And I started to say, you think this is just like a picture that's just thrown with it? No. The source is the Harris County Sheriff's Office. That is his mugshot.
I'm gonna stand in a world that's breaking sin for a truth unchanging. I'm not ashamed. I've considered the cost. I'll be right here at the foot of the cross and stand.
This is Jonathan Cain from Journey, and you're listening to Pastor Ed Boston on the Pastor Ed Boston Podcast.
We hope you enjoyed segment one, and as we transition our way into segment two, we're going to talk about these topics and some more. There was a woman baptized at a church that defied the COVID restrictions on being open. She credits them being open for saving her life. We're going to talk about the masks that are worn by the members of the House of Representatives. Guess where they're made? And among other things, we're going to talk about President Biden and him getting 4 Pinocchios from the Washington Post. Enjoy this segment. Listen to this title. I was a slave to darkness. During touching baptism, ex-drug addict says she'd be dead if church didn't defy COVID closure. And this is a story out of Canada, but a Canadian church has a message for Christians and houses of worship alike amid the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. Refuse to close your doors. I'm not here to debate, I'm just reading a story. Trinity Bible Chapel in Waterloo, Ontario, published a video Tuesday of a woman named Jennifer Scott. The clip featured Scott's incredibly touching baptism and her heartwarming testimony. Scott shared her journey with the congregation before publicly pronouncing her faith through immersion. I was a slave to darkness, she said. I grew up going to church, but I wasn't saved. Scott's journey led her into chaos and drug use. She eventually found herself smoking and shooting 7 grams of cocaine a day.
But wow.
Life started to change after she agreed to attend a prayer meeting at her son's request. The story is... it's why Jesus told us to not forsake the assembling, as some do, as the day gets closer to the end.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not debating. I'm not saying anything other than this woman was saved at a time where she believes she might have died. I'm sure she means from overdose or whatever.
Well, using that much, my goodness. Whew. Mercy.
So, there's a reason that you have the church doors open. There's lots of things that you can do. You can social distance, you can mask, you can do all different kinds of things, but don't close the doors.
Yeah.
Just don't close the doors. If they can have ball games and music concerts and everything else that is not protected by the Constitution, and again, this was Canada, so they're not protected by our Constitution anyway. But if they can do all of that here in the States, then they better not be trying to close the churches again.
Right.
If you don't want to go, that's between you and God. You know, I understand that there's people that are highly susceptible.
Right, absolutely.
And got many of the factors where you don't want to be doing anything stupid.
Right. There's people that's got health issues that can't take that risk, that are in a higher risk factor. Understood. There's reasons to be extra, extra, extra cautious. But there's also reasons to put faith over fear. And when you forsake the assembly, it becomes such a way of life that you can kick back in your easy chair every week and watch church on TV and never be around like-minded people, that it just becomes so easy to do. The next thing you know, you got $12 million churches closing their doors and having everything online. And everybody stays home, and then you don't follow what the Bible tells you to do. You forsake the assembly, which is exactly what the Bible tells you not to do. You can't be biblical and sit home in your easy chair every week and be an armchair Christian. You got armchair quarterbacks, you can't be an armchair Christian.
Here's the way I look at it. If you're going out of your house to do anything, go to the grocery store, go to work, get gas in your car, any of those things, then you have no excuse on whether or not you go to church. That's just the way I look at it. I'm not telling you have to. I'm just telling you that don't use COVID. If you don't use COVID as an excuse to go to the grocery store, you need to be fed spiritually.
Yeah,
just as much
absolutely.
As you need to be fed from
absolutely
Walmart. So, and thank God for this lady that church
absolutely
defied that order.
I'm going to defy
it. I'm getting ready to go
order and go kill our dogs.
I was trying to find something on here that you would be able to talk about while I go defy our dogs.
Well, how about I just go take them out while you talk?
Well, I was just going to put them in their crates.
Well, I can do that.
Okay.
It just may take me a little bit, a little longer than
that's okay.
It does you. Getting up and down is not as... Oh, I thought I was stepping on a toy. What?
Nothing.
Oh.
one of these hmm stories.
You're gonna have to suck it in. There we go.
I can't breathe.
Oh, thanks.
Ain't got nothing to do with you.
You know those stories that you say, the headline here says, KN95 masks distributed to House members, that would be members of the House of Representatives, stamped with made in China. I was just letting it sink in for you. Made in China, COVID masks. I heard this today. Please don't take this as gospel because I don't know that this is the case. You know, a lot of things you hear in the barbershop is just barbershop talk. But a guy that was in there said that CVS here in this area had gotten a bunch of home COVID tests, and they were flying off the shelves. I mean, just by the dozens, all in one day. Actually, it was by the hundreds. And he said, I didn't verify, but that those home COVID tests were made in China.
Oh, go figure. Ouch.
Now, just how does that work? China creates the China virus, and the House of Representatives for the nation, who is supposed to be pretty important people, you know, at least in their own minds, they're really important people, and they hand out COVID masks for COVID. It says made in China. Now, not everybody was excited about that.
Well, Bill said the regular masks that they have at work, they say made in China on them.
Well, there's one to look at right there.
Ours, the ones that we hand out to people that come in the door that don't have them, they say the same thing, made in China.
And
doesn't it make you wonder? Almost everything you get says made in China.
These are the really good ones, too. This isn't just like the paper ones that...
Yeah, those are R95s. Things that make you go,
House GOP Doctors Caucus Chairman Brad Winstrup of Ohio told Fox News Thursday that the U.S.'s insecure supply chain presents a much greater risk to our overall national health. If we can't make them here... And we have to depend on China, the same China that let the China virus out?
Well, I kind of thought that it was strange shortly after we had the big outbreak of COVID. The Chinese, what do they call it, community, was going around handing out masks to the local area.
That's because they're afraid that people would
turn on them?
Turn their back on them.
Well, by all means, just hand out masks that were made in China.
Well, get this. I don't know if you know the backstory, but the House of Representatives are mandated to wear masks, even though some don't. The fact that the masks we are mandated to wear in the U.S. Congress are made in China is just one example of our inabilities to protect and treat Americans without relying on adversaries. That would have been like in the Vietnam War, depending on the Viet Cong to do anything positive for our side. You know, you could depend on the Viet Cong to try to kill our soldiers, is what you could depend on. And these Chinese masks further highlight our need to divest away from the Chinese Communist Party. Our national security and our health depends on it. That's a member of Congress who's a doctor, by the way. And another one says, as usual, Speaker Pelosi fails to recognize the senseless optics of her own decision-making. We are fighting a virus that came from China, yet the speaker is comfortable with publicly supporting a Chinese manufacturer, sending our taxpayer dollars overseas and further advertising our democracy or our dependency on China on the faces of Congress.
Now,
can you imagine the Chinese? I'm not talking about the people that live here in our country that's great citizens and all. I'm talking about, like, oh, you know, the chairman of the Communist Party sitting there and seeing Nancy Pelosi on television, and he nudges the person next to him and said, "We made that mask she's wearing." Oh,
you look at her suck up that virus.
Oh, goodness gracious.
What do they think those filters have in them? I mean, good grief. And you know something, and I was talking about this today at work, and this has been kind of a forgotten about subject, and I was wondering today about it, ask about it. Nobody knows anything. What happened to all the ships that were anchored in the ocean with all the supplies that were on it?
You would have to dig to find the answer to that.
I mean, are they still there? Have they turned them around and sent them back? Are they, you know, what has happened to those? I'm just curious. Are they still anchored in the ocean?
Well, you know, it was supposed to be this major disaster at Christmas time. And, you know, the sky was falling or the sun was falling or
right.
Whatever. And then I think I read sales at Christmas were up 7% this year, I think was what I read, was the number. Something to that effect. So all of those ships that were docked that was going to...
Well, they weren't docked. They weren't allowed to dock.
Well,
they
that's right.
Like out in the ocean,
yeah,
anchored and just,
you're right.
You know, that's... floating out into oblivion somewhere.
It's almost like that was used to raise prices
right.
and make a fake controversy. Now, explain to me how you and I, people that are watching us, benefit from prices going up.
We don't.
So then why would the government do something such as that that made prices go up?
It might have been all the money that that free money, you know, the free money that they gave out, that everybody got free money, that now we're paying almost $4 a gallon for milk and almost $4 a gallon for gas, and every bit of our groceries are gone up tremendously, and you can't afford to go out to eat anymore because food in restaurants has gone up crazy amounts. You know, every restaurant you go into, they go, "Oh, look, we got new menus." Of course you did, because the prices on the old ones are non-existent now.
Well, we experienced that this week. We have a Mexican restaurant that we've eaten at for a long time. And there is another newer Mexican restaurant not far away. We've eaten there two or three times since we've been back to the one that we used to go to all the time. And we went back, and they had brand new menus. Now, if you put all of this into the big, you know, bingo ball roller, and you roll it all up, and you reach in and pull it out, you would think that in order to offset the loss of business that they might have gotten when this other place opened, they're very similar. I mean, you
right.
know, they're
right.
serving the same clientele, that their prices would have stayed the same, or maybe they were running extra specials. Their prices went up.
Yep. And their servings kind of went down.
Yeah, I think they did.
Their servings went down a little.
I think they did.
And so it's like, all that free money, guess who's paying for that free money? All of us are paying for that. Free money. You know, nothing in life is free. And for everybody that thinks that, oh, the government's giving us free money, guess what? Don't be silly. Government ain't giving you or us or anybody free nothing. There's no free health care. There is no free school. You know, oh, we get to go to school for free. They're going to pay us back for our student loans, I guess again.
Yep. It's,
yeah, that's not going to happen. There is nothing in this world that is free.
And maybe President Biden might start to realize that telling the truth is a much better way of going through life than, than getting four Pinocchios from the Washington Compost. If there's any more liberal piece of journalism in the country than the Washington Compost, it would have to probably be the New York Slimes.
Maybe.
This wasn't actually part of my plan for tonight, but you just can't pass this up. The Washington Post awarded President Biden its harshest fact-check rating of four Pinocchios over his false claim this week that he was arrested for the first time as a teenager while attending a civil rights protest in Delaware. They did the test, and that's a lie. In a Thursday piece headlined, Biden claims yet another arrest for which there's little evidence. The Post's resident fact checker wrote that Biden was not always a reliable source. Biden, by the way, let me remind you, that is the President of the United States. Always been referred to as the most powerful man in the world. Was not always a reliable source when it came to his exaggerated stories.
Hello!
And that too many elements of his claim didn't add up. You know, it goes along with he used to drive semi-trucks. No, he didn't. You know, the list just grows and grows, and it's funny, but it's not funny. You got to think that his handlers are like...
Handlers? I always thought that was, you know, like somebody that worked a dog at a dog show. A handler.
Well, but...
Not somebody that takes care of the president.
Well, all presidents have...
I know. It just sounds so stupid.
But can you imagine when he says something like that? I wonder if they just set stone face... So that people don't look at him and think, even they're shocked.
Where his own wife had to shut him up the other day.
Just sat there.
When they were in Colorado, he was giving a speech and his own wife had to shut him up and say, can I say something? And had to push him off because he was taking baseball scores and stuff in the midst of they were there for a disaster and his own wife had to shut him up. It was the fires. And he was talking about baseball scores. Never mind. You know what you call a rabbit with fleas?
What?
Bugs Bunny. Sorry. I saw that headline a bit ago, ice cream and bunny rabbits or something under Pelosi's name.
No, it was actually under Biden.
Bunny rabbits and ice cream. And then I just thought of that. Sorry.
I thought maybe that's what Mary said.
No, she said poor old thing doesn't even know where he's at. And that's true. He just doesn't.
So anyway, when the Washington Post gives you four Pinocchios.
Washington Compost?
Yes. Do you realize how much they would allow him to lie?
Well, to him, it's not a lie. in his brain, he probably thinks that's all happened. And, I mean, God only knows what's going on up there.
Well, the thing is, you used to work in home health care.
I did.
With people that had dementia, Alzheimer's, many things like that. And that's the kind of thing they did.
Absolutely. All the time. I mean, they just had no clue. I mean, it was sad.
Well, since Biden made the speech about voter rights and the bill that they want to go through that's probably not going to go through, which is a very good thing, that's where the lie...
Voter rights, that means where the dead people can vote for him again?
That's kind of what they're wanting, but... this is where the White House... what's her title? Press Secretary. Press Secretary Psaki gets sarcastic on bitter day. White House could just do bunny rabbits and ice cream. That's how she has to respond to things, because she's had to take crap for Biden being an idiot. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki deployed a colorful bit of sarcasm Thursday in response to a question regarding the setbacks that continue to pile up for the Biden administration. I'll put a pause on that. Do you realize that he's got a 33% approval rating? 33. That means two out of every three people in the country.
Stupid.
No, one out of three stupid.
One out of three stupid.
It was a bitter day for the White House that saw the Supreme Court blocked President Biden's vaccine mandate. A moderate Democrat senator rejected a change to the filibuster, and that's needed to get the voter legislation through. Bloomberg reporter Justin Sink suggested to Psaki that things seem like they are going pretty poorly right now for the administration. They didn't even add that even his own people now think that Biden has so screwed up the response to COVID, as in, you know, still buying masks from China.
Well, duh.
That even his side is questioning whether he has any sense. Things seem like they are going pretty poorly right now for the administration. The comment drew a retort from Psaki, who said the business of the White House was difficult and it was not the president's job to propose frivolous, easy things.
Well, thank God, because he wouldn't even be able to do that right.
With mention of Biden's blocked legislative agenda, largely unsuccessful diplomatic talks with Russia, record high inflation, I think I read that prices last month went up higher percentage-wise than any time in the last 30 years.
And that's sad.
Aren't we glad to be living through that bit of history? Soaring cases of COVID-19, Psaki was asked at what point the White House would assess that changes must be made internally. Well, I don't know. Psaki pointed out to millions of vaccinated Americans, job growth, and low unemployment rates. She went on to say the administration has rebuilt alliances around the world. Yeah, with the Taliban.
Right.
Psaki claimed Biden's stalled legislative agenda on the Democrats' small margin in the Senate, but pointed out how the president was able to get a COVID relief bill and an infrastructure bill passed. You would think that you could sell ice cream to Eskimos.
Ice cubes to Eskimos.
When you're giving away money. We could certainly propose legislation to see if people support bunny rabbits and ice cream, but that wouldn't be very rewarding to the American people, Psaki said, emphasizing that work in the White House is challenging. So,
she's relating work in the White House to bunnies and ice cream. Wow. Roberta's going to be a stand-up comedian. She says, suck it to me.
We'll just continue moving right on. socket to me. So let's.
Roberta, you're funny.
Let's go to the mandate.
She made me chuckle.
The mandate that is no longer a mandate.
Let's circle back at all this. Bill and Tanya, we're going to circle back.
Well, we'll circle to OSHA and and the vaccine mandate that the Supreme Court decided was unconstitutional, that OSHA has no standing. You know, there's this little thing called the Constitution.
Just a little thing.
And the Constitution says that in order for something to be law, that it has to be voted on in the House and agreed upon in the Senate.
Well, if you ever watched Conjunction Junction,
there you go.
You would have known all this. And Biden, that's right up his alley.
Cartoons.
Yeah. And
so
a blind man saw this one coming.
There has been no law change. Thus, OSHA, there are laws on the books that say what OSHA can do and what OSHA can't do. This mandate, why in the world did they give it to OSHA to start with?
Don't know.
Because they thought they could just slide it through.
That's exactly right. Thinking the American people are stupid.
But here's the deal. There's no new legislation. And by the way, if there was new legislation, then the president has to sign it. Or he can veto it. And if he vetoes it, then it goes back to the House and the Senate. And they can override the veto. That is how our government works. None of that has happened, and yet King Joseph, the four Pinocchio, King Pinocchio the fourth.
We circled around until we got there.
Yeah, there it got it.
We got there. King Pinocchio the fourth.
But here's the deal. So the OSHA thing is out. Now, there was a part of what they ruled today that wouldn't make conservatives happy, and that was that hospitals can still mandate that employees that work in facilities that get Medicare and Medicaid funding, they can mandate to them that they have to get, because there's always been a higher standard that they could set for those. So that stays. But as happy as I am that the Supreme Court saw fit to follow the Constitution, at this point, it doesn't really matter. Just ask somebody that you know that lost their job already.
Absolutely.
If they're going to get hired back.
Yep.
And the answer to that would be more than likely will be no. Because the mandate was through the government, but individual businesses,
yeah,
can mandate.
They've already got a standard set.
They can mandate whatever they want because that's private business. That's private enterprise.
And that's so wrong.
And so hundreds and thousands of good people.
Absolutely. Thank you, King Joe Pinocchio the fourth.
And so, you know, the businesses that didn't want to follow the mandate, it's going to be positive in their case. They won't see, what was going to happen was they may not have wanted to enforce the mandate, but if they didn't, then they were going to be fined thousands of dollars per case,
right,
per individual. And so for them, this is all good. And it's good. But, I mean...
Well, and that's why I said all along, for people in this case that were put in that position, don't quit. Force them to fire you. Force them to fire you. If it came down to me, and in my position, I would force them to fire me.
And not quit.
And no, I would not have quit. If it came down to them saying, look, you're going to either have to take the jab or you're going to have to quit. Nope. Well,
let's look at the person nope. that many of us that are in here tonight know. His company made the rule that at the location, let me start from the beginning. His company contracts out to other companies. And so the company that he was working at, not his own company, but the company he was working at, made the rule that there had to be vaccinated by whatever day.
Right.
So Amy had told, just like she had just said, you know, don't quit, make him fire you. Well, neither one happened. He didn't take the jab, so they transferred him to a different location. And then there's no work at that other location now, so they've had to find him work at another location, always with in the back of the mind factoring in that he refuses to take the jab. So he didn't get fired, he didn't quit, but he's still getting screwed.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, I mean, some people would say, well, at least he's got a job, and that's true, and he would tell you that as well. But less money on the hour?
Yeah, because not all of the places that he's been transferred at do those contracts pay the same amount as the one that he started out at originally. So in that, when he got transferred to the other one, that may not have gotten the same amount on the hour as the one he was at before. And then when he got transferred to the other one, that may not have gotten that as much as the one that he just left. So unfortunately, he doesn't make as much as he did the original place that they had him moved. He still has a job, but he doesn't make as much on the hour. And that's another way of getting screwed over by the government, by the companies, and not complying to their mandate.
Amy and I are so honored and privileged that you spent some of your time today with us. We hope that the topics we discuss are ones that are relevant to you. And if you would like to contact us anytime, ed@edbostonministries.com is my email address. We'd love to hear from you. And, you know, if you liked it, we'd like to hear that. If you didn't like it, we'll listen to what you have to say. And most of all, we'll love each and every one of you. God bless you all, and go out and do the right thing.
Good works in men, let them glory.